Get ready for a journey into the heart of Bridgeport politics with In Absentia, a new podcast from Connecticut Public's investigative team, The Accountability Project. Learn about the city's past and present political dysfunction and the systems that enable it. Tune in wherever you get your podcasts.
Funding provided by Gregory Melville and Susan Fox and Kathleen Bromage.
Faith here with your podcast, Welcome Toast. May we have patience with anyone whose two sandwiches are short of a picnic. Listen to our show in small bites or enjoy the whole thing.
I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops.
It's great to have you joining the party on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze, inviting you to join us to eat, drink, and be merry. We're going to do old school picnic baskets in our first part of the show. My treasured food buddies are here. Senior contributors Chris Busberry of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, and wine broker Alex Province of Hartford, Connecticut. Senior producer Robin Doyon-Aiken. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Okay, let's go old school with the picnic basket.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you might be using some high-tech cooler.
neon color.
But just kind of go with me on this. We're going to create a fantasy of the old school picnic basket with the red check lining.
Uh-huh. And how Yogi Bear would take.
You mean, not like mine that actually it's a cooler style one and you can actually plug it into the charger port of your car.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Has a little fan in there.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got it years ago and I love taking
it's
it on
It's an actual
trips.
Picnic basket?
It's a cooler. It's a cooler.
It's a cooler.
But it's a cloth cooler, so it's not very heavy, and it has a little refrigerator thing in it to take it on the road. You just plug it into your charging port of your car, and then I got an adapter. Then you can take that to your hotel room and plug it right into the wall.
Was so this before they had ice packs?
No, I think this is after ice packs.
So why wouldn't you just put ice packs in, just so I understand the science of it.
That's it, because of the science. I'm high tech.
Truckers would love
and
it.
High tech. And right. You don't have to refreeze the ice packs.
Okay. All right. I see where you're going. So
it's totally frivolous. See. Yes, Faith.
No.
Totally frivolous.
But I love
but
that
I love
kind
it.
Of thing. I love it.
But in our minds, we're thinking of the old fashioned wooden weed ones, right?
Yeah. Okay.
The
so
romance.
We're going to do.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Let's just do a thing about picnic food. And let's have picnics, whether you do it in the backyard or you do it someplace at a state park or a beach or the lake or wherever you want to go. Let's do a picnic. The classic, of course, for many, many people. I don't know if this really does come from the South, but the classic, of course, is fried chicken.
Ooh,
my question. Cold
so,
fried chicken.
What's the important thing about
it? I love taking chicken thighs. I pound them a little bit thin. So
why do you do those instead of the breast?
I just love the flavor, and I love the fact that they stay moist.
With bones, though?
No. Take them out. You buy them that way. Boneless, skinless chicken thighs.
Okay.
I take them and lay them out on a cutting board with a little plastic wrap on top and with the back of a saute pan, or if you have a meat tenderizing mallet, whatever, just pound it out so it's a little thinner. And then I take it and I dip it into buttermilk or milk. And then into a seasoned breadcrumb mix, back in the milk, back in the seasoned breadcrumb mix, and then I pan fry it, and I like it thinner because when you're out in the picnic, it's easier to eat. If you buy the small, they don't get much bigger than a couple inches, right?
Yeah.
And they're so yummy.
Oh.
And then you just take a little sauce to spread on it, and you can eat them with your hands, and it's
just
yummy.
Are you wearing a gray flannel suit like
yes,
Cary Grant?
Yes, sure.
Now, we don't want to put those in a plastic container, right? Because wouldn't that sogify?
So what I do is when I put them away in the refrigerator, I put them away on a little cookie sheet, and I let them cool open. In the fridge, so they're totally cool, and then I pack them in.
So the steam's coming
off. Yeah, so once they're totally cooled, then I pack them in a little Tupperware container.
Oh, you do?
After they're totally refrigerated.
Got it. Okay. Yeah.
So we would take that with white bread with mayonnaise and then cut chicken, fried chicken into pieces, and then that with iceberg lettuce and tomato makes a fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
Cut in a triangle.
And I'll give you one, too. We've taken that fried chicken and chop it into cubes. with the batter still on it. Some of it falls off. And then you mix it with chickpeas and Italian dressing, just regular store-bought Italian dressing, and some Parmesan cheese, and you make this chickpea fried chicken salad. You could chop up some red peppers or some celery in it, too. Oh, my God, it's good.
Here's where we do the bacteria alert. Always, if you're talking about a picnic, you have to do this. So we were just talking about this before the show, to be sure to tell you that if you have anything with mayo in it, you want to be sure that it is in a container with an ice pack.
Yep, keep it
now,
cold.
If you take it, it's got to be cool on the way to the event. Mm-hmm. It's got to be cool at your picnic. Mm-hmm. Take it out and you serve it. And if there are leftovers in the container, they must go back into the cooler with the ice pack again.
Keep it safe.
And if they, to keep it safe. But if they don't, if the chicken stays out in a bowl of some kind or in a platter, you have, Chris says,
the four hours,
according to the FDA.
Yeah.
Four.
But no saving afterwards. That's the only bad part, and I hate wasting food. Right. So if there's leftovers, if it sits out for a couple hours like that, you're not supposed to take it and put it back in the refrigerator and reuse it.
Okay.
So that's why I always say keep it cold, put small portions out. If you're doing a big backyard picnic with lots of people.
Oh, keep replenishing.
Keep replenishing it. But if it's just two of you, you don't have to worry about it. Just take enough food for two of you or three of you, whatever. Right?
That's
and then you just take a little portions and then you don't have to worry about it.
Okay. So already we've covered fried chicken and these fried chicken sandwiches, which is the dreamiest idea. Chris's fried chicken salad, which is another incredible thing.
I would do a thermos with a cold soup, like a vichyssoise or something.
That's a good one.
You know, thinking like 1970s style.
Or fruit soup.
Fruit soup.
You could do
like
a cantaloupe.
Gazpacho.
Ooh. Or your gazpacho.
Watermelon gazpacho,
Or even his regular gazpacho.
Cantaloupe
But we're sticking
soup.
With the whole Americana thing. I don't know if they had gazpacho in the 70s.
You know what I like to do, too, is I always like bringing pickles. And I'm not just talking about cucumbers. I like bringing little jars of assorted pickles. So I'll have a jar of like pickled zucchini. I have this great recipe for overnight pickled green beans because they're good finger food.
You do pickled vegetables.
Pickled vegetables because it's like an antipasti, right? You can just pass the jar around and get a little fork in there.
Or
little
would you
tongs.
Do the toothpicks with the the colorful stuff
totally.
On the tips? You know
that's
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, the frill picks.
That's a good idea.
Totally. And that it's not just about making it fun, but it's the crunch. It's the vinegar. It cleans your palate if you're going from like the
it's
chicken sandwich to, it's fun nibble food.
This is kind of a crazy idea. At this time of year, you don't think of heavy food, but because Chris mentioned pickled vegetables. Mm-hmm. I thought I would really like it, despite whatever heat there is, I would really like at my picnic a banh mi sandwich.
Oh, sure, with all those pickled vegetables.
So a little pate, a little slice of pork. So you make a roast at home and just slice it very thin, a little slice of pate. You can certainly get, you don't even have to have the loaf pate. You can even get a creamy, spread it on.
Totally works
and
fine.
And then the pickled vegetables that Chris is talking
cilantro.
About.
Fresh cilantro.
Yes, a little squeeze of lime.
Yeah, and maybe some sliced jalapenos. Oh, heaven.
How about that?
That with a glass bottle of Coca-Cola.
Oh, you got to go old school.
Did you just make a soda pairing?
That's a soda pairing.
That's cool.
You know what the other thing I like to do? And this is something, I don't know, people don't do as much anymore, I don't think, but I always bring hard-boiled eggs.
Yes.
But I just bring the hard-boiled eggs.
For your picnic.
For the picnics, and I leave them in the shell, and then we crack them when we're there. You peel them, you can throw the shells in the grass.
Fun.
It's no big deal. And then you can put a little salt.
You know
someone was going to say deviled eggs.
You could do deviled eggs. They're hard to transport.
But they have these ice pack things where there's a container and there's an ice pack under the deviled egg dish.
Yeah, she showed me that online once.
And
it's real.
Then you set your deviled eggs on top of it, and then the lid goes on top of the tray of eggs.
And they keep them solid and cold.
Oh,
and you can put that right in your picnic basket.
Really?
That's a cool idea.
It's a good invention.
I'm thinking of all the napkins that used to come like in that big long rectangle. that thin sort of.
Yeah, I was going to ask Alex, like, okay, forget food, wine, all that retro stuff is we know, but what else do you need in your, what's the essentials? A blanket, what else do we need? Like a corkscrew?
Oh, yeah.
Do you, are you with the plastic glasses? At the beach, we're all about the plastic. Oh, yeah,
you have to. Some beaches, they don't allow glass.
We don't do real glass unless, you know, I mean, if we were doing a picnic on the green in New Haven or somewhere like that, we would bring real glasses. But mostly, I will do plastic wine glasses.
The Govinos, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Those are fun.
They look like real wine glasses.
Yeah.
And you can recycle those, like wash them and reuse them, I should say. Don't throw them out.
I like the ones where the stem comes off the bowl of the glass and then they stack nice and neat. Put them in a drawer.
You've seen the ones that, have you seen the plastic cups that are white and the black logo on the front says Weekend Waterford? And,
you know, nice. That's in Waterford Crystal. Yeah. Nice.
So you use them. We sometimes will take those to the beach. Yeah. You know, somebody gave them as a kind of a joke gift.
So you have to have watermelon, sliced watermelon.
Oh, sure.
Do you? Yeah,
I
opinion?
Think
yeah.
so.
Yep.
Yeah.
Some kind of fruit, either watermelon or cantaloupes, or right, some kind of melon. Oh.
You know, most people would bring pie.
Pie. Yeah. Ooh.
Pie is the biggest one.
How about display? You know, how
do you bring a little candelabra for on the grass? What do? Or do you
that's,
do candles?
That's like Tanglewood, right?
Some of the displays at Tanglewood are mind blowing on the grass.
Yeah, you know, the
people
more,
go all out.
One time I was in Ireland and I came around. I was walking in these cliffs overlooking the water, kind of black rocks and the gorgeous ocean rushing in. I came around a corner and there is a couple, and they had carried in a folding table, flatware. China, they had glasses, and they were having the most glorious picnic on the little bit of greenery next to the rocks with the ocean crashing right there. I thought, I don't know who you are, but you must be in love. This is the most fabulous thing.
I live near Tanglewood, so I go there once or twice a year, and I still don't know how these people did it, but they brought in a low coffee table thing. And it was big. There were six
helicoptered
people
in.
Six people sitting around it. They had these big poofy pillows they were all sitting on. And it was set so elaborately with fine china and glasses and, like you said, silverware. And
what a fun
it
thing.
Was. Everyone was just commenting on like
potted plants.
Yeah, yeah, like everything. And you're like, how they must have like made 10
so
trips.
Fun.
Yeah, three truckloads to get it in and get it out. But it was pretty amazing.
Knickers around them were probably giving them the stink eye, though. I put all this effort into impressing my date here, and you show up with furniture.
Yep. And me, I'm sitting there on my blanket.
I like the blanket.
The only way I can think of doing that, what you just described, was to give everyone an assignment to bring in one real thing.
One piece.
You are the beautiful flatware.
Yeah, and you're the glasses.
You are the glassware. Yeah. You are the plates. But and then somebody's in charge of food.
Oh, come on. If you've been to Tanglewood, you see people coming in with wagons, the Red Flyer wagons. They're pulling these wagons. And these wagons are filled with stuff. You're like, wow, are you moving in?
I am discovering in this conversation that I have not been picnicking the right way.
Well,
I don't know. I don't do that. My rule is if I can't carry it in and out in one trip, it doesn't come with me.
You know, and then what I care about is that my wine stays cold until I drag it to the beach.
Priorities.
Marching down the road.
And you'd have a nice rosé?
Yeah, mostly with my family. Yeah. That's mostly what we do. We sit on the beach and out comes a chilled rosé. It's pretty great.
Oh.
I think we need
cocktails.
Can we bring champagne?
Can we bring cocktail mixes?
You bet. And,
so right? I was envisioning Sean Connery pulling up the champagne when he's in a, you know, he's having a picnic in the rowboat, and then he pulls a string and the champagne comes out of the river. He's like, oh, the perfect temperature.
Nice. You,
let's say this picnic is at the beach. Do you folks remember that we had someone on the air who described taking a pineapple and tying a rope to the end?
Yeah.
Hurling it into the saltwater ocean. This is what they would do. Into the ocean, throw it out there, and, you know, like you're casting, and then just anchor the rope on sand.
Yeah.
And it sits out there marinating in
salt,
salt water.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you pull it after, you know, a period of time, you pull it back in, and you start slicing it. And
it's salty sweet?
Salty sweet, delicious.
Oh, I want to try that.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
We have to try it.
We have to try that.
Food Schmooze Road Trip.
Yeah.
He could grill it, right? Didn't he grill it?
I think he did
barbecue.
Wow. I love that idea.
In barbecue.
Oh.
Sounds good.
That sounds right.
So pie.
pie, whatever pie. It's just all fine with me.
Oh, blueberry pie, strawberry pie. Yeah, definitely pie.
Cookies.
Cookies, yeah.
Yeah.
Those
brownies.
Brownies. Using
cookies.
Matt's new pan that has all the corners.
The brownie edges.
The brownie edges.
The best kind.
I love that.
I like brownies. You measure what you eat by like the inches, though. So now it's just like.
Oh, just 3 inches for me this time.
So have we covered it all? Do we have our picnic? Are we ready?
We have a picnic.
We ready?
Certainly, you know, we haven't even mentioned the picnic where you cook. Oh, yes, bug spray. Yeah,
just not near the food.
Yeah, do that before you get there.
They make good ones now, like citronella ones.
Yep. So we didn't mention the one where you cook at the site, but we're not even going to call that quite a picnic. It is, of course, but we call that a cookout. So we were just doing, you know, the pack from home, whether it's old school with
a
basket. I have a permanent one in the back of my car that I keep there just in case I stumble upon a beautiful cheese, a bottle of wine, and a baguette. You know, that's
sometimes
like
that's the picnic right there. Right?
Oh,
it can be. We went elaborate, but it can be as simple as a baguette and some cheese and some fruit, and that's it. And
some cold cuts as well.
Yeah, cold cuts, and that's it. And you're sitting there with a pocket knife and a cutting board.
Oh, I love that.
It's transforming to just grab that bunch of stuff.
Oh, especially
meet a friend or two, sit down, maybe with just the treasured person, and sit down outside by the water
and
on
I love
the grass
early afternoon.
Do it as a surprise. Have it all ready to go and
or
pick
put
up
it in
your
the
friend
trunk.
Or whatever, and then just, you know, your spouse and or friend or whatever and go someplace and have a picnic ready. How romantic.
Yeah, wonderful.
I like that.
Okay. I consider myself invited.
Nice.
Yes, permanently invited. I promise to tell you about the trip to Sicily that I'm leading in October. This is October 4 through 14.
Ooh.
Most of the travel writers that I have interviewed, surprisingly, their favorite food, wine, and culture destination, we're talking about Italy now, Sicily. I always think they're going to pick some other region of Italy. It is
Tuscany
Sicily.
Or,
and that's why I'm inviting you to come with me October 4 through 14 on my next personally curated Faith Middleton Food Schmooze experience. It is our tour of what I think of now as extraordinary Sicily. We're going to stay at top flight hotels, a beautiful spa included, unforgettable meals prepared by a fleet of Italy's most talented chefs. Wineries are going to pull out their best for us. They always do that. We're going to have cheese and chocolate tastings. This is all lined up. Visit beautiful ancient ruins, some of the best ancient ruins in the world, museums, a remarkable garden. We're going to shop in the markets. We're going to take a cooking class. I hope you'll join me for an unparalleled travel experience, our Faith Middleton Food Schmooze tour of extraordinary Sicily. Go to foodschmooze.org/Italy. All right, coming up, we have how about picking your own strawberries? That is really fun, and talk about fresh right off the vine. Our strawberry rum daiquiris, and we've also got a strawberry whipped cream layer cake. More mouthwatering conversation and fun ahead on the Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to feed the hungry. There are many. We are online now at foodschmooze.org. And of course, we'll be right back.
Fill the basket to the brim. Wait until the lights are dim. Set the stage and let the music flow. We're having a party, a picnic party. We're having a picnic party. Tell your neighbors, tell your friends, enemies to make amends. Everybody's getting in the groove. Boogie woogie, hoochie coo, honky tonky, boogaloo. Let your body move, your body move. We're having a party, a picnic party.
Beans and cornbread, beans and cornbread, beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night. I'll be ready.
Yes, they did. We have a free podcast for you. If you've never done podcasts before, a lot of people do this. They think, I want to listen to the Food Schmooze on my schedule anytime I want. We'll send you on your any device you want, your phone, your iPad, Android device, whatever it is. It's a copy of the show. It's free. You just sign up for it once, and it just comes to you. So the site is foodschmooze.org, and you can join the literally thousands now of people who are doing it this way, including our Christopher Prosperi.
Yeah. It's the only way I listen.
So we're always online at foodschmooze.org. Of course, I am with my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, chef and co-owner of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, to die for food because he makes it just as he does for us here, and we just swoon over it. Wine broker Alex Province of Hartford, who has just the best picks in wine, and you're just so good at it. And Mark Raymond, also a wine broker, he is so good at it. We feel like we have the kingpins of wine selection. And Robin Doyen Aiken is our senior producer and is also a contributor on the show. Regarding the wine, I wanted to add that if you are a wine broker or a distributor and you would like us to taste wines that you think would qualify for this show, please just send them along to us. Contact us at foodschmooze.org. And we'll take care of that and arrange to have your wine submitted. We taste them, we test them, and we say, yes, this is good for the show. We just did one this morning, as a matter of fact. Okay, let's go to strawberries, because for some people it is strawberry season. Some are early, some are late, some are on time.
Favorite.
What are your best ways? What can we do with fresh strawberries?
I know how I start. Pick your own. Right. So I pick
That's
a day
yeah.
and you go out and you pick a couple of flats because, you know, you're going to eat at least a half of one on the way home.
Do you do pick your own for the flavor of the strawberries that are growing or just because it's a tradition?
Yeah, part of the experience. Right?
More than the flavor?
More than the flavor. Because the same place as I go pick your own, you can go right up to the little stand there and buy a flat already picked for you. Mm-hmm. I think it's just part of the experience, and you can pick the bigger
one. Pretend like you picked them?
Yeah, you could pretend like you pick them. But anyway, I always get two. And then, like I said, you got to eat some on the way home. And then as soon as I get home, this is the first thing I do with the first strawberries. You ready? I grab the blender.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I cut the strawberries in half, take the
cocktail.
Top off it.
Yep.
And then I chop them up. I sugar them a little bit, let them sit while I get the rum. And
ooh.
I make strawberry
daiquiris.
Yeah. And that's like
some ice.
Yeah. You put ice in the blender.
Yeah.
Right. And then the strawberries.
Wow,
and then I just.
Frozen daiquiris.
Yeah. And then I just do some a splash of rum and that's it. It doesn't need anything
else. A
little
cream?
You don't have to because the strawberries are so awesome.
Well, a little fat.
Well, that's interesting.
So that's how I start.
Okay. All right. Now, do you ever make a strawberry soup?
Yeah, I've made strawberry soups before. Yeah, yeah. But
what would you put in a strawberry soup? I should have looked it up. But
what would you put?
Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering. Mm-hmm. You know what is striking me? How would strawberry soup be with? Of course, they're going to go in the blender. Mm-hmm. With a little port.
Oh yeah.
How do you think that would be?
I like a little sour cream too to make it creamy.
Mm-hmm. You like it chunky?
No, jammy. Soup? I mean, I think with the little port in there and the strawberries, mm-hmm. that just strikes me already.
And a little spice? Does it need a little spice?
Could, yeah. White pepper.
What would your spice be, Alex?
Yeah, I'm thinking a little cayenne or something.
Ooh,
you know, that's sort of just, you don't taste it, but you just get the buzz from it a little bit.
I was wondering if cinnamon would work.
Ooh,
would
that's
work?
Good, that's good.
Would
fresh,
it work?
Yeah, fresh mint.
I'm making this up.
Yeah,
oh,
no,
fresh
all
mint.
Fresh mint goes well with strawberries, yeah.
Okay, so you could make a soup, and there's certainly online a million recipes.
Of course.
We might have looked them up for the show.
A
little rhubarb for the acid, to give it a little sourness.
Yeah, cook the rhubarb down a little bit and put it in the blender with it.
What do they put strawberries with in pie? What's the other fruit they would mix? You know, they'll often do peach and blueberry.
Oh, strawberry and rhubarb.
Strawberry and rhubarb
is number one because they grow. The old saying, what grows together goes together.
I think port with those two would really be good.
You know, and
that's a great soup, strawberry rhubarb. That's a great idea.
In Spain, my grandfather used to take red wine and strawberries and puts them together, lets it macerate together with sugar. And so the port, I think, is probably even better than red wine.
Okay.
It has a little more like body to it.
Or sparkling wine could go in.
Oh, that's good.
You can actually, if you want to get
strawberry sangria.
if you want to get crazy, you can actually make soup. You can make strawberry wine. Right? You can actually take the strawberries, put them in a...
I feel like that's a Van Morrison song.
Like ferment them?
Yeah, and ferment them and make strawberry wine.
Yeah.
Well, my mom does strawberry and raspberry wine, where you just take it and ferment it.
And so the quick way to do that, because I've done it with oranges where I make around the holidays, Christmas holidays in my tradition, I would get an inexpensive white Bordeaux and then pour into a different container fruit, like oranges would be my number one thing, and then let it sit there for a couple of weeks and then pull the fruit out, strain it, and there you go. I've got a very dry, beautiful orange wine.
Mm. Would you add a little vodka to it or something?
I didn't, but you know, when Chris was talking, Alex, I thought to myself, this is the exact same way to flavor,
like a spirit.
Your vodka or whatever you might want to flavor.
Yeah.
Speaking of growing together, what do dandelions taste like? Because I know you can make dandelion wine.
I don't know.
Oh, we eat them every year. That's really? An Austrian
tradition.
Are
they savory or sweet?
No, they're bitter.
They're
bitter green. Yeah,
you just do the green, not the flower.
A salad. Yeah, you do it as a salad. Yeah,
okay.
Every spring.
Huh. So I throw in some dandelions into your strawberry soup.
Okay.
Yeah, you could. It gives
now,
a nice little.
Is there
zing.
Anything on the soup that should be dolloped on? I mean, should there be sour cream?
Yeah,
creme fraiche.
See, I like putting sour cream
yogurt,
or creme fraiche in the soup.
Whipped cream.
I like pureeing it with a little sour cream or creme fraiche, so it's a creamy consistency.
Goes to pink.
Yeah, it goes to pink and it takes any of the sharp edges off the soup. So if you take whatever soup recipe you want, put it in the blender, make it with cinnamon or mint or whatever you have, and then right at the last minute, take a couple dollops of sour cream and just pulse it in there, and that just adds this depth of flavor to it.
And would you do that one dollop at a time to see how it's affecting the flavor?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
So we've got a soup going. We're all set with that.
Would you strain it to make it sort of silky and elegant?
I don't.
No.
I just like it rustic. Right. But you can, yeah. If you want it more refined,
strain
it.
I feel like for a dinner party through a fancy chinois or whatever would make it. So smooth.
When I was growing up, my favorite birthday cake that my mother made was a yellow cake, and then she would cut the layer when it came out of the oven. And I wish I could tell you I remembered whether it was a box cake mix or it was from scratch. She would do both. But she loved to invent things in recipes. And so she would then slice the cake in half horizontally so that now became two layers. She would beat up freshly whipped cream. She would cut the strawberries in half, and in that first layer she would cover the entire top with whipped cream, and then she would put the end to end the strawberries across the whole surface in the whipped cream. Then she'd take the top layer and put it on top. Then she would take the top of the cake, put whipped cream on the top, and then do the same thing with the strawberries. And then she would whipped cream the sides of the cake and press the strawberries into the sides. And so what that was a strawberry whipped cream cake.
Sounds yummy.
Everything real and so phenomenal. Because when the fork went through it, the strawberries, maybe from the sugar in the whipped cream, would somehow juice into the cake. And it would be wet with strawberry juice plus the whipped cream. To this day, they're just the best cake I've ever had, I think.
You know, that is my favorite dessert. A strawberry cake, like a whipped cream strawberry cake with the juices. That is my favorite dessert.
It is.
I will order it where any strawberry dessert like that.
Do you ever find that? I've never found that
in
a restaurant.
It's really hard. No one does stuff like that anymore.
We do one with angel food cake.
That's good too.
Oh, that's
so. And again,
good.
It's a quick, easy one. You can either buy it or make your angel food cake ahead of time, right? And you just take you don't even have no decorating or anything. Just take a slice of it plain, put it on a plate, add the whipped cream, and then the macerated strawberries go on top, and then a little bit more whipped
all
cream.
Soaks
and
in.
It all soaks in, and it is just heaven. So, and pound cake works good too. You can buy the pound cake. Just take a slice of that, put it on a plate, and then the macerated strawberries.
Well,
you got to take your strawberries, cut them in half, and then just lightly sugar a pinch of salt and let them sit for about an hour.
How would all of you describe the difference between that cake and strawberry, traditional strawberry shortcake with biscuits.
So your mom's cake is going to be soft and spongy and gentle, and whereas, you know,
dreamy.
I think of, I think of the shortbread as
but don't get me wrong, I love strawberry shortcake.
I do too.
Right? That's just a totally different thing. It's got more toothsomeness to it, right? It doesn't
heartier.
Yeah, it's heartier, but there's something about when you have it like on a soft cake like that, it all just melts to you don't even have to chew, it just sort of dissolves in your mouth.
I think that's what heaven is like.
Yeah.
Yes. Strawberry. I do too. In the cafeteria. You know there's a cafeteria
And you know what? It's
all you can eat.
And it's the best cafeteria.
It's one of the last things that we have that I don't care what you say. You can get strawberries all year round. But when you get them and they're growing around here and you get them at the peak of ripeness or pick your own or whatever, you buy them in the flat or whatever, there's no comparison. It's like two totally different things.
We're going to get to this later as we get deeper into July and really get into August when peaches come out, because I just want to mention my mother made the exact same cake for me when fresh peaches were around.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, I love your mom.
I know.
She was smart.
Yeah, she knew. She was, I don't know if she read it somewhere. I never did get to talk to her about it, but so that's what she did. Fresh peaches, and excellent with canned peaches, by the way, because the whipped cream, fresh
and
whipped
that
cream
juice that comes out
makes up for the fact that it's canned peaches.
I love strawberry ice cream too.
You do.
Yeah.
Do you make it yourself?
Or, I was thinking that our friend at Arethusa could maybe make it for me.
I'm sure that's on the menu
I'm sure
now.
They already do.
But do you remember when I was a kid, when you bought strawberry ice cream, I would go to this little pharmacy in Hartford where they had a bar with stools, not too many, like four stools. And I'd order the strawberry ice cream because I went through that streak. And what was different about what you see today is that it was packed with strawberries. Whole strawberries. You know that
you could actually see a strawberry inside.
Oh, you would bite into it and you'd have a
whole
strawberry. Whole
strawberry, not these little slivers or pieces.
No, no. Or in the strawberry ice cream now, there's no strawberries.
Yeah, it's pureed.
You know, like a strawberry milkshake where you actually clog the straw with the strawberry bits.
That's the best sip.
We should do
it. You have to flip it over and get it from the other side.
You know, we have to promise everyone, let's all, as you're listening, we're asking you to get in on this with us too. We should all promise ourselves to do these things we're talking about right now. Let's make those cakes with the strawberries.
Yeah.
Let's make that milkshake.
You know what would be fun is to make a cake and then put it and bring it to like a neighbor or a friend, just out of the blue, bring them an old-fashioned strawberry cake.
Yeah.
Imagine like how good that would make you feel.
Someone just moves into the neighborhood. Think of that.
Oh, that's a welcome,
wouldn't they just be your best friend forever? Okay, so, you know, I was thinking, Alex, about you liking strawberry ice cream and how you could buy strawberry ice cream and then hack it. Let it get soft. Then take your whole macerated strawberries
and
smash it all in and then stir it up, put it back in the a container, freeze it again, and then you'd have that experience of, you know,
how
with
you
a
make
little
a good thing better.
Pour a little Chambord or something over the top, whatever you might like.
So I can almost stop when I like my ice cream sort of soft. So I take good ice cream and then I'll sort of do what you do and mix it in a bowl with a spoon and then add, you know, M&Ms or something to good vanilla ice cream.
I call that a milkshake with a spoon.
I love it.
I used
you
to
can
do
eat
that
more.
Too. I know. I do too. All right. I'm having a ball as I always do with my buddies. And we have more fun. We'll just surprise you with the next segment. We have more fun coming your way. Isn't this the best season? Stay with us. I knew that I would now. So good. So good. I got you. I feel. Like sugar and spice now. I feel nice. Like sugar and spice now. So nice, so nice. I got you. This is the Food Schmooze Party, offering the richness of life and coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including Westchester County, the East End of Long Island, of course, the Hamptons. The senior producer who joins us on the show is Robin Doyon Aiken. To hear the show on WNPR, it airs Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon, Adventure Day. Podcasts and our curated recommendations are always online at foodschmooze.org. I'm with my treasured food buddies, Chris Prosperi, Alex Province, Mark Raymond. Right now, I thought it would be fun for all of us to talk about sharing a special wine with other people. You know, we share wines with other people all the time. Yeah. Everything we do, we share with other people. And it's really kind of a fun, traditions can get started. But I received an email from our senior contributor, Mark Raymond, who'd had this amazing experience having burgers with somebody who brought out the most amazing wine. And I looked at it and I thought, isn't that something, that somebody would share something that special with you? And I remembered all the people who'd shared with me too, and it made me, it's infectious. I wanted to share special things that I have with all of you and lots of other people. Mark, tell us about that.
Mary and I and the family were visiting two very dear friends of ours, Dave and Lisa Werzer, and they have a little house on Rogers Lake down in Old Lyme. You know, I always bring wine with me. So I had a couple bottles of rosé in the bag because it's a warm time of year and we're going to have a good time on the lake. And, you know, we fire up the grill. We're cooking some burgers and some hot dogs. We've got the potato salad. And Dave looks over at me. He says, you know, it's not too often we get together and do these type of things. So I want to open up a really nice bottle of wine. And I said, sure. Yeah, whatever you want, Dave. And not thinking he would open up this 1998 bottle of Lafite Rothschild. And it was just absolutely spectacular. It's an
what
amazing
wine. What were you
wine.
Eating? You were doing burgers.
We were
right?
having cheeseburgers. Cheeseburgers, some with bacon, some without, you know, potato salad, coleslaw. I mean, it wasn't really about the meal. It was about sharing a really special wine with some great friends.
Oh.
And it was so funny because my 15-year-old daughter looks over at me and she says, Dad, this is a really unique wine. Can I taste a little? I said, sure, you can taste it. And she did. And she's like, do you get to drink wines like this all the time? I said, no, honey. This is a rarity. And, you know, special wines like this, you know, to share with special friends that actually appreciate great wines.
So before we get to what your daughter thought, what was it like?
Well, I mean, it was really interesting that the fruit was still there, but the velvetiness and the length that it would stay on the palate was just absolutely incredible. I just remember sitting there, and you always refer to the echo and how it just kind of just stays on your palate for a long period of time.
It's almost like your throat is echoing.
Yeah. And so I sip at it. This was definitely a sipper. This was not a gulper. So I tell you, I don't think at any point in time my nose came out of the glass because I just love smelling wines like this. And it had this great sort of earthiness to it. It was just wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Yeah, 1998.
Oh, so a year after one of the great vintages of all time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's 97. So this is the idea of sharing with people a special wine. I feel like it's divided into two categories, and I want to get to that. To come back to Mark, though, for a second, your daughter. In Europe and the rest of the world, there is a tradition with children to bring them up, introducing them to wine. And so I see that you did that with your 15-year-old daughter. And I have a theory myself, I could be wrong, that if we did that, kids, when they got to college, wouldn't be so cuckoo about
drinking,
you know, I have to drink to get drunk because I've never had this before. And if they got to appreciate what wine means, that it would be a whole other story. I don't know how
you
think
you almost
about it.
Get a maturity level about you with drinking that you say, I don't need to, I know what it's like. And we're talking about a sip here, too. Mm-hmm. So it was more about the appreciation for something that's so rare and so special to taste, because bottles like this, just they're not everywhere and you don't drink them all the time. The conversation grew into, Dad, what's the most expensive wine you've ever tried?
And well, what does that mean?
Yeah. And I said, well, I think it would probably have to have been the 1918 bottle of Paul Roget at the winery, which was just absolutely stunning.
Wow. You're killing me now.
And so I had no idea. I had no idea price point. So I looked it up.
This comes to, you've got a special bottle of wine, whether it's been given to you or you've bought it. And you're not going to pour that. Well, I guess I was going to say you're not going to pour that for folks who don't know or don't appreciate. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're going to say to, like, your daughter is an example of, you know, honey, here's something very, very special, and let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You
provokes
know,
conversation. It provokes thought. It's, there's special wines in that my school of thought is always offering to, you want them to try it. You want them to kind of get an idea of what an aged wine does, because in the European world, that's something that they've kind of grown up on and appreciate, and people put wines away in their cellar, where here in the United States, I think we tend to drink things a little bit on the younger side and just kind of focus on the here and now. So when you get things like that, it's really a rare occasion, and there is just amazing little nuances in wines like this that when you get these wines on your palate, I mean, Alex, you've experienced this.
All I'm thinking is there are so many beautiful bottles that people were given to people that are in people's basements that they're saving for a special occasion, bottles that were given to them at weddings or whatever that need to be drunk. Life is short, so go home this weekend and whatever.
Find
and
one of those.
Grab one of those bottles and go to the beach. I mean, just enjoy. It doesn't, being alive is special.
Absolutely.
I just feel like we need to go drink those bottles. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even have to be fancy, but if it's sentimental, now is now.
Exactly.
Now's the time.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, I get to that problem now where I have an old cellar, but I started collecting wine in my 20s.
Really?
Yeah, and now I have too much. I don't know what to do with it all, so I guess I should start breaking them out because
let's
I have...
Let's go on vacation.
Yeah, let's go
together.
On vacation.
Because let's go to Chris's house.
I mean, what do you do
now
with
I'm
it?
Marrying you.
Yeah, there you go.
And you guys will remember having that bottle forever, right? I mean,
yeah.
You have these special occasions. And...
Oh, we'll talk about that forever because we sat around that table and we just talked about that wine. And we just absolutely thoroughly enjoyed it. It was just fantastic.
Well, I've had this kind of occasion where I'm bringing out something special. I think, Alex, you and I once had a debate about whether you bring out a special wine for people who know nothing about wine because it's a gift to them, a kind of gift of love. And I was saying, I was on the side, that was you, beautiful, gorgeous you. And I was on the side of, you know what? I can't bring out the most special wine for members of my family who know nothing about wine because they're drinking it like I don't know what. And so they don't get it.
Mm.
And so I was trying to understand how to do this. And so Alex said to me it was about love and education. So we went back and forth, back and forth.
My parents had their 80th birthday party. We had people from all over.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. They're nonstop. But we had this big party at my restaurant, and the question from my staff came up to me is like, what are we serving for wine? Because we were going to do like these platters of food to make it more family style, to make it more fun instead of doing courses. So we did big plates of stuff and passed it around. And we're like, well, what do we do about wine? We don't want wine to intrude, but we want to do something special. So when I was younger, I collected large format bottles. So
oh, those are the best.
Large format means big. 3 liter, 6 liter. Yeah.
Five liters.
Yeah, big
Can you
bottles.
Describe that for people who don't know what
Well,
that
if it was
is?
On the floor, it would come up about, what do you think?
Your chest.
3 feet, 4 feet.
Yeah.
I mean, these are big bottles of wine.
Yeah. Depending on how tall you are.
Yeah, and they age a lot
better.
Longer, right? Well, not I don't know about better, but they age longer, right? You can keep them longer. So I have a good amount of older California big bottles, and I took a, I think it was a Camus 1990 Special Selection in a 6 liter. And we decided to just do the whole bottle. So we dumped the bottle into pitchers.
All right.
Because we were like, we didn't want to make it fancy because we had people that know wine. And I also had people at this dinner that didn't know wine. So I didn't want to make it intimidating. So we put it in glass pitchers. And we didn't, except for the people that knew wine, we didn't make a funny thing about it. We left it in the corner. We never put the big bottle near the table or even talked about it at the table. And what I realized is that even people that didn't know wine were enjoying just having it in the glass but not it being the center, right? It was still part of the meal. And
what
I'm
did
sure
your
there's
parents
still,
say?
They loved it.
Did they?
Yeah, of course. They
love European wine. Yep. So did they like this?
Yeah, but my parents have been here long enough now where they love American wines. And now I was at my parents' house, they drink Spanish wines, they drink Italian wines. It used to be just French. Now it's everything.
Sure, they love the camaraderie, though.
Global.
Yeah, oh yeah. And it was the wine brought everyone right around the table.
Chris,
but I didn't want to make the
so
wine
wonderful.
Be like, oh, let's talk about the wine. But I wanted to, I wanted the wine to be like what you said about the love. And that's what it was.
And did it go, it went with everything, right?
You know what? I don't think it even matter, does it?
No.
It's good wine. You have good food. Maybe it wasn't perfect with every single course, but who cares? It's good.
Exactly.
It's good. It's enjoyable.
You
you're
and
with
I
family.
Share that.
Yeah, you're
whatever.
With family. You're with friends. And we had so many different platters of food that I'm sure it went with some of it and maybe not as well with others, but who cares?
So what about this thing where you have people who know wine and then you have people who don't know wine at all? And do you bring out, I mean, this is really a real question. Do you bring out your special, special wine and talk with them about it and help them to understand it? Or do you save it for people who know wine, who are going to appreciate this with you because you both have a certain level of, what do you all think?
Well, I think you have enough wine in your cellar where you can do both.
Yeah.
If you don't, I would go back to what Alex said. It's really about the people that you love to be with. Mm-hmm. And if you love to be with those people, you can have a conversation. You can have an honest conversation about wine. Whether they understand it or not, they're going to ask you questions about it, or they're not, and you're just going to enjoy being with them, enjoying the wine.
All right, so here's the thing. Let's think for a second. There's a big crowd of people. Like at my family, there's a good size crowd of people. So everybody's going to get a tiny, tiny portion of this thing. Or you're going to have a smaller group of the people who are into wine, and they're going to get a larger portion of this and be able to really, truly appreciate the art of what this is in the bottle. How do you handle that? Because for me, I only have a bottle of these special wines. I'm not like some of the rest of you who have multiple bottles of these special wines. You might buy the half case, the whole case. I don't have that. I have a bottle of this special wine. And, you know, some of the family members will drink absolutely anything.
Right.
Or they don't drink at all. And then there are some people who love wine, as I do, and they will really get this experience.
I think when you go to one bottle, if you're talking just about a 750 bottle of wine, you need to have a more intimate audience there. It's got to be a smaller group. If you've got multiple bottles.
Or 6 liter.
Or a large format, then you can obviously be a little bit more
liberal. We're not having large format bottles.
But let me just say about wine, too, that I look at the wine I have and it doesn't have the financial value of what Mark said of the wine he had, even though I have some of that wine, because I didn't buy it. And this is the cool thing about wine. Remember, I said I started in my 20s. I'm getting old. So when I bought that wine, it wasn't that expensive because when you buy wines at release, they're cheaper. So everyone can do what this. Buy
that.
Just buy a $20 bottle of wine and have the discipline to put it away for a while.
All right.
We have about a minute left.
I just want to say this one thing. The great artist Jackson Pollock and all these, you know, people who were all in this art world. They had nothing. They had no place to live. They had no money enough to get a glass of wine or a couple drinks in a bar in New York. They had nothing. Here's what they did. when people came over, a pot of spaghetti on the stove, throw a baguette on the table with some butter, and just some kind of what we would all, you know, old school call gut wine. Mm-hmm. You know, big jugs of wine poured around. Did anybody care?
At the end of the day, it's a bottle of wine.
It's just be together, talk about great stuff together, have a good time.
What's the most important thing?
Enjoy what you have.
Never mind all this fancy schmancy business about dinner parties. Yep, you know, it's like just gather people and have a great time. That's what it's all about.
There you go. Indeed.
We are on WNPR Thursdays at 3 and Saturdays at noon. Weekdays, listen for my 60-second food schmoozes and never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton. Thanks for listening to the podcast on your schedule. And when you need a little party in your life, we're here and online all the time at foodschmooze.org. And of course, also on Facebook at Faith Middleton Food Schmooze. See you there.